always thought that scripture said that the wise men came from afar. But maybe it is because of that punchline of that old childhood pun. You remember that one? You know, there were firemen in the Bible. The wise men came from afar. I hope you noticed that that's not what Matthew's passage says. Matthew tells us there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, we don't know exactly where east was, where in the east they may have come from, but I think we can safely assume it was from afar. This morning, I want to suggest to you that afar may be more descriptive of the Magi's journey than we might have thought at first. Let's talk about how they knew about this king. The scripture says that they saw a star in the east and followed it. Right? Know what it says? Not really. Not really. The Magi said they saw his star rise and have come to worship him. Think about it. Yes, they saw a star when it rose, but it doesn't say they followed a star. At least not at that point did they follow a star. And how did they know it was his star? Now, scholars think that these wise ones likely traveled from Babylon, some, are you ready for this, 650 miles away. No train, no stagecoach, mostly walking, maybe riding camel, not much faster. That's a long way. That really is afar from a distance perspective. But it's even more afar when it comes to noticing when this star appeared and what its appearing meant. How could they be so sure of their observations, their calculations, their assumptions were correct? They were not Jews. But it's likely that Jews may have still lived in Babylon since the exile, some 500 to 700 years before that. Perhaps they had studied Judaism, scripture and theology. So maybe, like I said, this is afar. Maybe they put two and two together and voila. This new king is obviously in Judah. And since his coming is revealed in the stars, we should definitely go and welcome him to the neighborhood. That's afar. I'm telling you, they put a lot of disparate parts together and then said, let's go do this one thing. How about us? Do we have the kind of faith that these Magi had? These sages, soothsayers, astrologers, scientists from, let's go ahead and say Babylon. When is the last time we set out on a long journey at great risk to pay homage to a king who is probably never going to remember seeing them? Truth be told, they weren't exactly even sure where they were going to find this baby in Palestine. Is that the kind of people we are? I hope we are. But I think we have to make that decision over and over and over. When we decided to become one church, we started on a journey. It didn't seem so afar. It's a lot more afar than I thought it would be. See, here's the advantage we have over them. We know where to go to find our Savior. We have the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to guide and protect us. We have brothers and sisters with us with whom to worship. We have these friends that surround us to guide and encourage us. We have a Savior who has lived, died, died for our sins and been raised from the dead. We have living with us the Son of God who embraces all who accept his gift of salvation and authentic life. We have all those advantages. Yet I'm not so sure we're always committed to going afar. The Magi really did come from afar. Ideologically and geographically. Yet they made a commitment to go seek this one. Not one of their own. Not even one of their own religion. All they meant to do was to recognize Jesus for who he was. Even that part of the journey was afar from those who should have been aware of his coming. From how afar do we come to recognize, to serve, to worship, to declare holy and eternal this one whose birth that we just celebrated a few days ago, really? For some, the afar nature of their journey is overcoming physical pain and obstacles just to be in worship on Sunday. Others must come from an afar of simply the inertia of a life without a meaningful journey. The vast majority of those who identify as believers don't come from afar to go anywhere. And have little conviction or even curiosity to even put something on their calendar related to serving God. But off go the Magi. They go on this somewhere between 4 and 6 month journey. And they travel to Jerusalem because they thought, well, it's the capital, but surely if a king's going to be somewhere, they're going to be in the capital city. But the new king was not there. So they started asking around about where they might find the king. Herod, who was kind of a Jew in name only, he didn't even know. He had to ask his priests and his scribes, who, by the way, were probably appointed by him. They had to go ask somebody else too. There were just too many afars for us to look at this morning, but they are immense. I mean, look at them just briefly. The star appears again and guides them to this very place where Mary, Joseph, and Jesus were staying. We don't know how long they had been there. Perhaps a few days, perhaps a couple of years. To follow the plan of Herod to take the life of Jesus out of jealousy, the Magi were spoken to in a dream to return home by another way. Now, how many times do we have recorded that God speaks to those not of the faith? I know a lot of people of faith who can't say that. He spoke to these Magi. God used these Magi to demonstrate that he sent the Son to be a Savior of the whole world. Do you see it now? He was there for, he came for those poor Jewish shepherds who slept out in the fields with their sheep. He was also coming for the foreign potentates that most Jews would regard as godless pagan idolaters. He was there for those who were near and those who were from afar, all kinds of afar. He came for those 2,000 years ago, and he has come for every soul on the planet this very day. has come for you, and he has come for me today. If you think about it, all of us start our journey to find Jesus from afar, don't we? None of us just happen to come up with the notion that we need to accept Jesus as our forgiver and our leader. Did you come up with that on your own? We may not be visited by an angel or see a new star in the sky, but the Spirit calls us nonetheless. It is not of our own doing, but by the call of God. The Spirit of the living God is still calling each of us. No matter how far or near we are, no matter how or where you heard the news, come one, come all, Emmanuel, God with us, has been born. You are loved and God has called you. This new year is a good chance to answer that call. To just look up and see a new star. To begin a new journey. As we begin this new journey, we gather around God's table to share in a meal that is instituted by Jesus himself. This meal is to remind ourselves and each other and all those who would look on that we are on a journey. Not a journey of waiting and running in circles, but a journey from our own afar to wherever God is leading. As we receive the Lord's Supper today, this first Sunday of 2024, may we resolve not to expend the precious time and resources God has given us just to stay where we are today. May we come to this point in a year and say, we have moved, we have made progress, we have come closer to what God has called us to be. We can't, we have failed. Christ has died for us and was raised from the dead. May that new life we have received call us from afar to our Lord. So today, as we receive these elements of bread and the cup, may we do so taking account of the journey on which we have been called. So let us gather at the table that the Lord has set for us all, those who come, who are near, and those who come from afar. Would you pray with me? Prepare us now, O God. Prepare us to celebrate once again this meal that Christ called us to remember, that we might remember his broken body and shed blood for us. That is the reason that we come from wherever we are, regardless of how far, on the journey to wherever he wants us to go. For it is in Christ that I pray.